Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing X-Men 97, Season 1, Episode 5. Remember it. All that and more after this, whatever this is.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I am distraught. I'm Jeff Randall.
I'm Ashley Coffin. And I felt like a feeling, so. I went, oh.
Ashley has a feeling.
Yeah.
This one hit me hard, guys. Full spoiler alert, because this one has some big moments. We don't want to spoil anything. But by the middle of the episode, you can tell it's got some sadness to it.
I don't know what you mean. We got Nightcrawler in this episode.
Yeah,
he was so happy.
Talk about bamfing for 45 minutes and then get off the podcast.
They had like a A&E, or what is it, the design house when they come in and like they're like, hi, this is the mansion. Let's take you to the danger room. And this is where we keep the Blackbird. Who wants to see where we make coffee?
Yeah. It's like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yeah, AG, yep. That's it. Architectural Digest.
Oh, okay.
AD.
Nice.
Watch them on YouTube. It's the best. It's all the stars' homes. I'm like, okay, so you're where I'm going when the purge happens. Got it. That's Beverly Hills.
All of those houses are freaking fortresses.
I was watching this episode, and I'm like, man, some big stuff going on this episode. Like Wolverine getting that kiss. And then Scott freaking out on camera, like, these are big deals. And big then deals. The last half of the episode happened, and yep. I was like, none of that matters at all.
Yeah.
Well, you know what killed me is when I saw Uatu. I was like, oh my god, this episode means a lot if he's popping up in the stars. I was like, oh no, yep. What's about to happen?
Hey, yep. I didn't see Uatu. Sorry.
Right. Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, yeah.
There's a shot in the midway. Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a shot in the sky.
Over Genosha.
Over Genosha, where you can like see the outline, the silhouette of Uatu watching.
And he only shows up in the comics like that in the stars when something major is about to happen. And I was like, I wouldn't have expected this.
Yeah. Well, so in the comics, I've seen that he shows up at major events, but like in our current Marvel Studios animation, he shows up with things that are eventually going to cross over into like multiverse shenanigans. Yeah. So like that's my mind immediately goes to like what if they're gonna bring this into a what if.
Oh, yep. Maybe.
Yep. I mean, the X-Men are notorious for time travel shenanigans that mm-hmm. reset the timeline or, you know, as the current theory within the verse is, create a new universe and go that direction.
And they're like, oh, no, let's try again. I'm looking at you, Bishop, Cable.
Stop messing. Let me go back and do it right.
Let me try one more time.
I'm really trying not to like let that infect my brain because I think they really did a good job, even with a Cable appearance in this episode and him like trying to stop whatever this was and then saying sorry, mom, and disappearing.
Mom,
like that was intense, but that immediately made me think, okay, whatever's about to happen might be a rewritable thing. But then they got me so emotional with the way that they executed the deaths, like.
Oh, I know.
I don't want them to undo Gambit's death. Gambit's death
was rough.
Amazing. Like, it was stylish. It was rough.
Bad
it was
ass.
Like, it was all of the badass and all of the sadness, which is like exactly what I want out of a like hero death like this. And it was just so good that like part of me doesn't want them to undo it. But then at the same time, I knew going in they might because of Cable.
Yeah,
but
like you have to. You can't just leave Gambit dead. I mean, they're leaving Storm powerless.
And I'm assuming Magneto's dead.
Yeah.
So it's like, see, Rogue, baby, when you play hard to get too hard, and in the end, you have no man. Like,
you have nothing now.
I don't know. I thought making a spectacle of kissing Eric in public to like decide that like, oh, that's not it. I was like, you do that behind a closed door, girl, not in front of everybody. But, and then look at what happened. I was like, oh no. And then he stopped. I think she would have taken that thing down. That was rage, like berserker rage Rogue.
That was. Oh yeah. That was so cool.
It was really intense. I do feel like she should have gone around and collected a few powers before going after it though.
Oh, true.
You know, like go absorb a few people and then head after
Magneto's.
Yeah.
Give me this, sugar.
Well, she can't.
Oh, yeah, she can't do Magneto's. That's the one
person. She can't take Magneto's because his electromagnetism stops her power.
Yeah.
Protects all the time. None of them have to have like that, you know, sting kind of level of concentration mantra. Like, I just have to keep thinking a little bit about that and it won't happen. Like,
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Because that was the problem, is she was taking his past into her still, kind of, and she couldn't kind of like deal with that. I thought that was like the reason why they broke up. I love their like, it reminded me of Thor Love and Thunder when they're like, this is what Jane and Thor were doing when they were watching sitcoms.
Right.
But they were just in the Savage Land getting sexy.
Oh, that was so, I love that they went through that for us. And when she said, like, my evil mom was training me. I was like, that's, I know who that is. I know who that is.
We know what you mean.
and there, like, throughout this episode, there were so many times where I was like, huh, is that? Yeah. Oh my God, that is.
So
oh,
many look little, over there. That's little cameos and stuff just hiding in the background. Like,
yeah, characters so many.
I don't even recognize from anything except for, like, trading cards and stuff. Like, I just,
yeah. Like, oh, there's Pixie.
Multiple Man, Dazzler. What was the other one? Glob, who's my favorite, who's just a skeleton with the eyes. Poor Glob.
Not that Blob. Power sucks. Blob's the big guy.
Is it not Glob?
Not Blob.
Oh, Glob.
Glob.
Oh, I don't know.
With a G.
Glob.
Sorry. Gotcha.
Sorry. I just heard. Yeah.
And then I caught a random Archangel.
Yeah, there's a couple random Archangels, which I thought was weird to have, because Archangel's a character we know. So I'd assume like he would have met them or something, you know, like been there to meet the X-Men or something.
He met them in the series.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, because he knows them, I would think he'd be like, hey, X-Men, good to see you guys. But like, he's just like floating around in one of the, under like an L train or something. Huh.
Did anybody else see that apples were $10 in 1997? Goddamn. When they were getting the apples, the sign said $10.
Well, no.
And I was like, I'm sorry.
No,
that was in Genosha.
Yeah, Gambit called it out. Gambit said, why are the apples so expensive?
Still a lot. It's like Hawaii when they're like, boxes of cereal are $10.
Because you got to import everything. It's an island nation.
He said, like, sometimes I recognize things that other people don't or whatever, because he's like noticing the problems with their society that like maybe are being ignored, even though it looks so cool and shiny.
Well, $10 in 97 would be what, like $30 now?
Well, it's $10 Genosian, so.
It all has Magneto's face.
Yeah.
The monuments. This is Magnus Square. What?
Yeah.
Appropriately, what? It's my name.
Oh, and the giant Charles Xavier statue.
Oh, I love it.
When Eric fell into it and like pushed it over, I was like, Charles, no!
He was probably like, no!
Yeah. Yep.
That
it looked like that crushed a bunch of innocent bystanders.
So a lot of people died, right?
A lot of people died.
They're gonna have to redo this whole thing.
Yeah,
they're gonna like that's.
You mean undo this whole thing?
Undo. Like,
killing people again is rough.
Yeah, I'm really trying not to like think about that because I really think they did a good job of getting me out of that mindset and making me really go through this. And I'm like, I'm trying to like be surprised by whatever they do because this was a really great episode. But yeah, I can't not think about the fact that, like, because if they hadn't brought Cable into it, I think I'd be more like, maybe this will, they'll leave it this way. But the fact that Cable was there makes me think. But then it's the way he said, I'm sorry, and that he was too late, made it seem like he couldn't stop it. Which
he's going to try again.
Yeah. Does he try again, or does he have to try to stop the next thing that leads to the apocalypse or whatever?
Well, I wasn't expecting this, like, multi-faced giant, like,
what was that?
I don't know. It was a sentinel, like,
but it's not super sentinel or whatever the heck. What was his
like
name?
It's master not mold. Master mold, but no. It looks like it, you know, it's got like sentinels on it and it was just deploying those, but it looked like a giant robot insect that had mm-hmm. sentinel faces. Weird. But yeah. It was like, it was almost like Living Tribunal with its mm-hmm. three faces on it. Like, it was weird.
Yeah.
I was like, Cable showed up. He said, I'm sorry. Like, he's trying to stop something. He's trying to get everybody out. They're all going to die. And then there's explosions. I was like, oh, snap. Apocalypse is here. Apocalypse is showing up because that's what Cable's all about.
Hmm.
But then it wasn't.
No, they showed it in the trailer, too.
Yeah, they redirect. They showed Apocalypse fighting, and like there's a lot of Apocalypse stuff in the trailer,
or not the trailer, the intro
yeah, because they change it for each episode to kind of be like, hey, yeah, see these things that you Phoenix. remember.
Yeah,
well, someone pointed out to me that, and I didn't even notice, and I'm sad about it, if you watch the first couple of episodes, Jean Grey has her hair down because it's been Madeline Pryor the whole time. And so now that it's been Jean, she has her ponytail back. And I was like, God damn.
Oof.
The continuity. It's hot.
It's hot. It's so good.
It's so hot.
I do love it so much. I wonder if that's a way we could look back. I wonder if at some point in the series they took her hair down and like that would be the way to track when the swap was.
It was after Dark Phoenix. And that's kind of when they were saying when the swap was.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix is like when she had her hair down, like
the best
the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
it was wild.
It was 80s hair band.
It was untamed.
Yeah.
One of the parts that just absolutely killed me is Magneto and Leech's death.
Oh,
with Magneto doing everything he can to protect the Morlocks, and then he's speaking German, right? He said,
"Yeah."
He said, "Do not be afraid," which it just connects him back to his heritage, and like he was a child in the camps. It's like him trying to protect a child as his last act. There is so heartbreaking.
Yeah, he had the flashbacks to the camp in this episode. Like,
yeah, it was
all the barbed wire and whatever. Like, and then he said, "They shall be avenged."
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't just the people who had died. You know, for as far as the mutant cause, like it was also the camps, and
yeah.
My notes are like, no, wait a minute. Oh my God, don't do this. They better not do this. He's trying to protect them, and then just no.
your notes are just, it's like just, the Vader. No,
because when I'm watching, I just yeah, and then it's get him, Rogue. No, goddamn it, Gambit. That's my internal dialogue.
It was so awesome when Gambit was riding that bike and just launched it.
Oh my God. Just we got to see so much Gambit.
So much good, so much great Gambit and Rogue action, like going down that alleyway and like working together in like, just they're both working in like top tier form. And that's why like, I love this episode and I love all the action. It makes me nervous they're going to undo it because...
Oh, they're totally going to
Undo it. I feel like they have to.
I think the last three episodes are a three-parter.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I really... Like, when they said Omega level threat, I didn't know if it was Magneto or if we were going to get another... Storm was about to show up. Or Storm, you know? Like, I thought, like, maybe she off-screen got her powers back and shows back up.
They did that to rip my heart out because then they said Omega level threat exterminated or whatever they said, and I was like, no, he's not.
No,
you can't kill Magneto.
He can't be.
I was like, no way they're doing this. And then they double ripped my heart out.
That's the thing, is like, if it had just been like they murder everybody, explosion, like I'd be sure they're gonna undo it. But the amount of heroism they allowed to show on screen, and like how great mm-hmm. those scenes are, and they're scenes that are gonna stick with me. Like I don't want them undone because they're so well done and beautiful and
brutal.
You're gonna remember my name.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Remember it.
Remember it.
Name's Gambit. Remember it.
And just the way that he did that reminds me of a page from AVX that I've seen on social media recently, where it was Gambit versus Captain America, and like Captain America had him on the ropes and like had him by the throat or something like that, and Gambit puts his hand on Cap's chest, and Cap's like, come on Remy, like we both know that your powers don't work on organics. And he's like, ha. And like, as he's chuckling about it, you see Cap's star light up, and then his armor lights up because his armor's not organic.
Mm.
And then he blows Cap's suit up, like on him. That's classic Gambit.
All of his clothes fell off.
And Ashley's like, yay.
Is that okay? What's the thing from Extras? I know, Matt. Somebody.
I was trying to remember.
Patrick
like,
Stewart.
And then I've seen her naked.
And
or
then
whatever.
All their clothes fell off. And then I've seen it all.
And then I've seen it all. That's it.
It's too everything. Late. I've seen it
it's
all.
It's too late. I've seen it all. Oh, if you haven't seen that, look it up. I think it's Patrick Stewart, right?
Yeah. It's Patrick Stewart on Ricky Gervais's show Extras, which I believe is on HBO.
Worth watching for sure.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, the love story in this was absolutely tragic too. Like her, like it's totally fair. Like when I'm watching this, and like her and Remy are never gonna have this connection. They can't touch unless they listen to Ashley and get a collar.
I was gonna say I solved their problem.
Yeah, you've already
four episodes
a
ago.
Few times.
And so she decides to go with like, you know. Maybe it's not the love of her life, but it's like a love that she can have and fully like participate in or whatever. And like,
yeah.
And then she decides that, but then realizes it's not enough. Then leaves that man to go, like, say she's going to go back. But then Remy dies not knowing that she's left Eric.
Oh, I know.
Which is so freaking tragic in itself.
How am I supposed to sleep at night?
It's so romantic because he didn't care. Even if she was with him, he was still gonna, you know, he saw him die. He's like, oh, he's dead. I could be there for her, but no, he made sure, like, I'm not gonna let her die. And then he went nuclear. He Oppenheimered him. He bang. You know, he could do that.
How am I supposed to sleep at night?
With Beam?
There you go. Ashley got that.
She did. She got there. You need a little help sleeping. Beam's. Beam's the thing you need. Beam's Dream Powder is a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep. You guys have heard us talk about it before. We love the stuff. Helps
love
you
it.
Sleep. It's an all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, nano-CBD. It helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. So if you have trouble like getting in the right headspace and physically preparing to sleep, it's great for both. It helps you sit and have a moment to sip on a warm beverage, feel your body get warm, and all those wonderful like things mixed in there just get you in the right headspace and right chemical space for good sleep.
Just close all those mental tabs down, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll help you stop crying.
The anxiety, the thoughts.
The loss of Gambit.
Yeah, you can stop thinking about the destruction of Genosha and just
enjoy the chocolate peanut butter.
Or the salted caramel.
So good, so good. The numbers don't lie. In a clinical study, 93% of participants reported Dream helped them sleep better. And today, our listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder, their science-backed healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better.
So if you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use code MCUpod at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use the code MCUpod for up to 40% off.
Yeah, and I know we've been mentioning this particular sponsor a lot. They've been really supporting the show, which means you guys have been supporting them, which keeps the show going. So if you want to support the show, it's a really great way to do it. shopbeam.com/MCU pod.
Start getting some sleep, people. Sleep.
So the beam's really going to be doing its work tonight because this episode really broke my heart in like multiple ways. I keep being surprised at how well this show is wrapping me in. Like, because in many ways, it's just like the 90s cartoon and it's not much deeper. It's still big and dramatic and soap opera-y. And like, I just keep getting, I keep finding myself like really into it, like really, really emotionally right in the middle. Like, I mean, when Gambit got that tentacle through the side or whatever, I was just like, oh no. Oh no.
Well, they didn't do stuff like that. Like, I honestly feel like they were like, okay, kids are going to like this, but let's really write it for the people who want to see an uncanny X-Men, you know, comic run of a story.
Oh yeah.
And it's like several, and it's so, I'm like, oh good. Cause I was worried that it was going to be very kiddie. Cause doing the rewatch, some of them are hard to get through, but so far these have been like, even the Rogue relationship with like everything that just happened in this. I was like, did Magneto just propose to her?
Yeah.
And say, can, will you be the queen of Genosha with me? And you said, I'll think about it. You know, I mean, but then I get it. I get the whole Gambit side of it. Yeah. So like, I really, like, I see myself as Rogue.
No, is that why you cosplayed?
Definitely pick Magneto. Yeah, Rogue's my favorite.
All right.
And I wasn't expecting them to bring my two favorite. Like, you know, Magneto's always been my favorite. If I could pick any Marvel power in the entire thing, it would be that power.
Mm. It would be the ability to crush cars with your mind.
Everything. I'll send you to space. Whoop. Oh, did you not use it? Don't get me into it.
You didn't use a turn signal and cut me off? Oh, yeah.
Guess what's you're the moon look like? Go say hi to Elon.
I'm gonna send your ass to Uatu.
Yeah, he's just gonna watch you go by and go, you deserved it.
Yep. You had it coming.
Sorry, you said he had it coming, and I just immediately thought of that like freaking Chicago song, but Uatu's singing in.
He had it coming.
He had it coming. He only had himself to blame.
I will sing the whole song. Let's keep moving. No, they did it really well, and I don't know.
Yeah,
they had the whole third wheel aspect, and I love when Magneto's like, "Well, if this plane goes down, you're the only one who can't fly." Stupid,
idiot.
Well, I love that. I love how they're like real snipey at each other in the plane, but then like,
there's a weird respect.
There's respect, and there's the purpose of that respect comes full circle at the end when it's the three of them, or the three that really survived the initial blast, and it's like they're the three that have to do this, and there's no moment of like, "Grr, I have to work with this guy." They're like, "No, we have to save people now. Like, we have to save. Yeah. We have to fight for Charles's dream. You know, Charles's dream has become all of our dream now, including Magneto's. And they just have to do what they have to do. And there's no like, he's like, "You guys go do this. I'm gonna do this. We gotta work. Like, it's it's time to go to work. No more soap opera time."
And he surrounded himself and was like, "I'm going to draw their fire. You guys do all the saving." I was like, "Magneto, that is a death sentence. What are you doing?"
Yeah.
But that was, I mean, that's like the most heroic he's been. Yeah. And like that just shows that like he does have that love for people, you know, especially mutant kind. But well, like,
I believe he would have always done this for the mutants. So the fact that he is in this role of being a protector of the mutants and just trying not to be a warlord while doing it, because he wants to protect the mutants like he always has while fulfilling Charles's dream. So like him fighting the way he did and him being willing to sacrifice himself and it just totally made sense to me from his character, for his character.
It was great. It was great to see that growth. And like, honestly, Matt, you were saying this is, you know, so much like the original series. And while that is true that it is, you know, kind of soapboxy and, or not soapboxy, soap opera-y.
It's also soapboxy.
It's a little soapboxy as well.
In a good way. I love it. But it's soapboxy for sure.
One of the major things that I feel is different about this, though, is that, like, you know, in these fights and in these situations, they are, like, they cut loose a little more when it comes to, like, you know, people's clothes didn't get ripped in the original series. Like, people weren't shown being impaled in the original series.
Oh, yeah. This was turned up a notch.
Yeah, like people didn't like cough up blood and like things like that in the original series. Like that was a no.
It's for us,
go.
Jeff.
I know, and I freaking love it.
I agree. Kids, I think it's totally not for. Yeah, this thing is not for kids exactly. I've been watching it with my niece, and she was very surprised by this episode. Also, yeah. She has no idea what Cable's purpose is and like how that might play into it. She just thinks they just murdered all of the main characters, and she was like, "You can't kill Gambit. He's a main character. He's a main character." And I was like, "Yeah, no, it's crazy."
Like, yeah. It makes you invest in the story, doesn't it?
Don't pay attention to that guy with the star around his eye. Don't even look at him.
Don't look at him. Actually, she asked me who he was, and I was like, "You saw Deadpool 2, right?" And she was like, "Yeah." It's like that big guy with the metal arm.
It's Thanos.
Like, so the guy looked like Thanos, and she's like, "Yeah, oh yeah, I was like, that's Cable, that's that guy." She's like, "Yeah, but he's their son." I was like, "Yeah."
It's like, yeah, you've seen him in this series before. He was just much younger.
Speaking of soap opera, we didn't even get to any of that stuff.
Yes, that's what I was.
Oh,
I was,
my God.
Also, a very adult situation, this like sort of emotional cheating that's going on between Scott and Madeline.
I know, because I was like, whoa, Jean, did you just cheat? Did you just make out with, I'm okay with it, but did you just make out with Wolverine? I was like, oh, no. And then I was like, Scott, are you having an emotional mind affair with Madeline? I was like, what is happening here, you guys?
Yeah.
Ugh. Couples therapy.
Well, couples therapy, yeah. But also people cheat for all kinds of reasons. But like going through stuff like losing a child and like, just going through that kind of tragedy, also losing your mentor, these things are things that happen to people. And mm-hmm. also, like, even more reason that this can happen is like, you also, it's a clone of your wife that you thought was your wife and then fathered a child with. Right? So it's not even really like,
And you're like, why is she hotter? I don't get it. Why am I so attracted to her? She's like, that thing. I'm like, oh no.
Jean Grey never wears those goblin boots or whatever.
She always has her hair in a pony. I'm like, down.
Yeah.
Real Dark Phoenix days when she used to throw me around and call me Scotty.
I mean, God, it might be a hot take, but I don't think I consider what he did cheating. Like, she's all upset, like, oh, you slept with you were with a clone of me. Like, you love her? Like, yes!
But weren't they having mental conversations? Like, it was like they were DMing each other in their minds, right? So that's an emotional affair, right?
I think it's an emotional affair. Here's the thing. I hear what you're saying, Jeff, and I think the way this show has portrayed it was kind of done poorly, because it feels like this all just happened, but she asked him, how long has this been going on? And he said, a few months, I think.
Oh, shit.
So, like, happened. Okay. This has been going on a while, and he has not told her. So,
I'd be
like,
very mad.
Yeah, that's not... Like, it'd be one thing if they just... Like,
that's fair.
If she just left and then they reconnected mentally and she walks in, it's like, y'all are still connected? Oh, no. But he's like, I don't know. It's all new.
This is the second time. We've been watching The Circle together on Thursdays. I didn't want to tell you about, they've been having this thing. But it's weird that she didn't feel it until then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird.
It feels like for us, it's been 2 weeks.
Right. Exactly.
He was a little frazzled, though, right after he ruined like mutant human relations within 3 minutes with that interview.
Yeah,
yeah.
It takes a little bit to get over, and like,
luckily, no. Well, that chick's not going to do it. She dated Beast in the show, so she's like a returning character. And I feel like, didn't her and Beast date in the comics?
Who, Madeline?
So I feel like she's not. Yeah, no, not Madeline. The interviewer. Yeah, she's a friend of the mutants. I feel like she's not going to air that.
Yeah, she's gonna be like, "That's
what I'm trying to get at."
Need a minute.
She's like, "We're just gonna cut that." Yeah, take the mics off.
It feels like they would. I don't know.
Yeah, reporters these days would absolutely.
She dated Hank McCoy, so maybe if.
Yeah.
That's why he was like, "Darling, blue blushes too." That was like a hint, hint, wink, wink at their relationship.
That was really cute. I liked it a lot. Really great episode all around. I know they're gonna have to undo it, but I hope they do it in a way that makes this still have meaning or something, because at least have someone remember it, have something maintained, have someone have to make a sacrifice to undo it, because it is just such a freaking awesome
episode. Anybody but Rogue, though, okay?
Right.
No, not Rogue. We can't have another Black Widow thing.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
I feel like I'm not reacting yet because I'm already like, oh, they're going to fix this. Everybody was very upset, but I'm like, is this your first X-Men rodeo? I mean, come on, guys. But if I might be wrong, and if they do, then I will then be like, it's going to hit me then. But right now, I'm like, no. I'm fine.
Yeah, like if the season ends and Gambit's still dead, we're going to be like, whoa, hang on.
It feels like a season finale. This is like, what? We have a couple more. Like, imagine if they did this and they're like, see, in 2 years,
No, I would be upset.
I'm trying to remember what sci-fi thing it is. I also was thinking about all these people keep getting hit with this green beams that the Sentinels are shooting out, you know?
The duster, it looked like World of Worlds.
Exactly.
And people just were getting dusted.
It did. But like, I've seen something somewhat recently, and I'm trying to think of what it was, where they're doing that, and then you find out it's like a teleporter. Like, so like they're doing that, and then it ends up being like something that they're teleporting the people out to somewhere else and trapping them, and they're not actually killing them. But I don't know what it may have been, like a Doctor Who episode or something like that.
Interesting.
But anyway, so I was that crossed my mind too.
I think there was a point when in the Infinity Saga we were talking about that having been like the thing that the Hydro weapons did, like it teleported people away.
Yeah.
But it ended up not being so, at least not revealed yet.
Yeah, there's still just a bunch of World War II soldiers on Voromir somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Gambit is such a badass.
Oh, something so really small, was. But the little things that I noticed, I was like, oh, Scott does have to sleep with a sleep mask because of course he does, right? Because of course he does. Like a hard one. So like I sleep on my face. I would hate that.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God. And the way that he like, when he took it off and he's like just sitting with his eyes closed, then reaches for his glasses. I'm like, Scott, you've been doing this for years and you haven't found like a more efficient system. Like, grab your glasses first, Scott. Come on. Like, are you playing it up for camera? Like, what the hell?
Interesting. Yeah, I kind of liked that moment. Like the moment of vulnerability for him.
That moment of vulnerability that he had was, we're not different. We're not.
Oh my God!
We're not like you at all. That's what it
we're
was.
Better. Like yeah, that
we're
whole thing.
We're so much better. We're homo superior.
Yeah, that was
like
that was maybe a little
oh
rough.
I don't think he said. Oh my that. God! You should. Shh. It's over. You ruined
you're
it.
Like she's like, stop, Scott. Stop, Scott.
I think we should bag the story. And then Jean's running out like, you and my clone had sex the other night. And everyone, Beast was like, yikes, guys, yikes, or whatever she said. I was like, oh no, this is going horribly wrong.
Yeah. I feel like it was an episode of The Office. And like Cameron just turns to Hank.
Beast,
and he's just
like, yikes.
Yikes.
I just looked back just because I was curious. And the beams the Sentinels shoot out prior to this have always been red, too. That's another reason I was like, why the green? Why the, like, yellowish-green beams they're shooting? Like, is this a different kind of thing? Are they not killing everyone? I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the question. So what do we think that is? Who, like, I don't know. I'm always like, is it Sinister? But it can't be. Is it Apocalypse? We saw him in the trailer. Who would be making these souped-up Godzilla-level Sentinels? Like, that was a kaiju. He was huge.
But yeah, that's the thing. Is like the group that they fought in the first episode, the Friends of Humanity or whatever, they did barely had enough to scrape together this master mold that had, like, a zombie Sentinel graveyard. Like, I don't know that they have the ability to produce this. But then there's that moment in the first episode that I still keep thinking about where he says the client we're working for will give us $10,000 per mutant, and it's like who's the guy they're working for, and like what is he doing with the mutants? And I keep thinking there's going to be some twist there, and like maybe whoever was trying to get mutants that way was also the one responsible for this. Maybe I don't know. No clue.
But they can't do the Genosha like Slave Island story again, where they have them like working. Like that's what they did when they brought everyone in Genosha for the first time, and that was in the animated show. It was a couple episodes.
Yeah.
Well, they revisited that
for like a brief moment in the last episode in the Jubilee half.
Did they?
Yeah, because like she said, this is Genosha again. Way in the way back.
Yeah, so I don't think they'll do it again.
Everybody was,
but now they kind of went there, and they're like, "Hey, this is like Paradise Island or whatever it is," and the Fifth Element, and everyone's having a great time. And then the lo and behold, Genosha is not the place to be. It never seems to be the place to be. Like, I would be like, if I got out of the map, like, I am never going back there again. You can, no.
Yeah.
It's over.
I want my money back. These tickets were terrible.
Done. Yeah.
These tickets were terrible.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, and you're never going to fool me again, okay?
That's a shame.
Yeah. It's a, I don't know, really, really great episode, and like, I don't know what I want from it, because like I kind like obviously I don't want to lose Gambit and I don't want to lose Magneto, but I love the way this episode I love the way it was played out and the way it was expressed, so I don't want it to end without stakes. So yeah. I don't know.
Oh my god, Scott's gonna be insufferable because he's like, I'm in charge. Yeah, I don't know, in charge is gonna be insufferable.
He is gonna be insufferable.
It's Storm true. Needs to come back because she puts him in his place, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She's working on it. The next episode's Life/Death.
Oh, part two?
Part two. So
let's go.
We'll find out. We'll probably find out what's happened with Storm. Yeah. And I'm really curious how the world's gonna respond to the Genosha incident. Because they just joined the UN. So an attack on them would be an attack on all of the UN.
Oh,
so
yeah. Like, it was a good time to sign up right before.
Well, I guess, but they still got it. Like, is the world going to live up to that? Like, are we going to see like some sort of world war forming, you know?
Mm. Was that up on Planet M or whatever he named it after himself?
Asteroid M.
Asteroid M. Is that where Genosha was, or was it on the planet?
I thought it was
on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay. Did they say like where it was, just where the islands were?
Just an island nation.
Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I guess that's it. I guess that's our chat about this episode.
Yeah.
You guys got any other moments you wanted to talk about or anything?
No, I'm sad enough. Let's just end it.
I feel like I know I'll have more to say on our Monday episode because
I want to watch it again for sure.
I need a second viewing.
Yeah, I need to watch this like three more times at least.
Yeah, for sure. You do. Six more, Jeff. Six more.
Six more? Okay. Mm-hmm. How many times you think you got to watch it? Double it.
Yes, right.
It was long. It was long. I wasn't expecting it.
It was like a 34-minute episode,
37.
I think.
37. That is getting dang close to what, you know, a full length MCU episode.
Like Secret Invasion episodes were like, what, 23 minutes by the crow flies for some of them after you took out the intro and the ending.
Yeah. If you take out the intro in this one's so long, but it is cool though. Like
you never skip that. Yeah,
well, you don't skip it, and it's been changing every week, so it's been really cool.
Keep you engaged.
But yeah, this one's 32 minutes before the credits roll. 32 and 30. So, all right, well, guys, anything you want to tell the people about before we get out of here?
We on Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater are going to be putting out Ready or Not for the new, what is it, the vampire ballerina movie Abigail that's coming out next Friday, the 18th.
Like a lot of fun.
I think this will be fun. Yeah, so that'll be fun. I love doing the reviews. I just popped on Multiverse News, so you can check that out. We were talking about some Dune stuff, and it was fun. It was super fun. Yeah, I really like the format you guys got going over there. My computer, unfortunately, was a mess. But next time, I'm going to have a brand new commuter by Friday, and then I am going to be in with the technology of 2024. I can't wait. I can't wait to be here with everybody. I've been in 2013. It's a little laggy, but I'm going to be there, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we're all really excited. I think, it's going to, like, the whole
I feel like everybody else more than me.
It's going to be great. Love it. We'll be back soon, guys. And I'm glad you're on Multiverse News. I went on vacation this week, and so I did not even like check in. I told them I can't be there. They're like, we'll handle it. I was like, great. And I just like went, and it was so I didn't even know who was gonna be on or who was doing anything. I was like, they got it handled. And I took a week off. But that's super exciting. I'm gonna have to listen to it probably tomorrow, because I got two more episodes to record tonight.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. gonna be a night. Star Trek again. I was out for 5 days. I was in Austin for the eclipse, and I was just gone for 5 days and didn't do any podcasting or music at all.
It's a good thing. You need it really to great. Do it every once in a while.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, really,
you didn't
really
do
nice.
Any music at all. You didn't even talk about music with us.
Yeah, I didn't. But I avoided it. I avoided. I was honestly glad. I was glad y'all did that episode without me, because we've talked about doing that episode, and I feel totally unqualified to do that, because like, as much as I know music, I don't pay attention to scores. They just don't resonate with me. I don't like instrumental music, like as a standalone thing. I never listen to instrumental music. If I'm listening to music, it is about the song. It's about the lyrics. And so like, I've said it before on the cast, but like, I just don't listen to scores. So like, I don't even know which one's which or anything about them or like blah, blah. So I'm really glad y'all did that without me. That's great. I'm glad.
Perfect.
I'm excited for you that you got to see the eclipse, because that's pretty cool.
It was real cool.
Yeah, that's a neat experience.
I don't think I'm going to go blind. I think so far, so good.
Can you get disability for that too? I'd be like, sign the papers. I looked at the sun too long and I'm sorry. You know?
I looked at the sun too long.
Didn't happen to Isaac Newton. It won't happen to you. You'll be fine.
What?
I was wearing my glasses with my sunglasses because I was like, I really don't like to squint. That's why I wear sunglasses way into the dusk. That's why my eyes look so young. People, listen, wear your sunglasses way into the dark. The less you squint, the less you get crow's feet.
I thought it was so that you could keep track of the thoughts in your head.
What?
That's why you wear your sunglasses at night.
So I can.
There you go.
But I didn't know what is the next line thing.
You track all the thoughts inside my mind. That thing.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah. I literally never noticed that's what that line says next. Jeff, you've got the best memory. You really do.
Such a good memory.
Really good memory. Like
it destroys me.
Yeah. He gets it all the time. That's like, yeah. So many episodes that you have been so incredibly important to of this podcast, because you just remember like the actual wording of things, not just like I remember vaguely like the wide swaths of things that happen, and you're like, oh no, this is the exact word they did, and that's just not what I do. That's not how my brain works.
Lies the crown.
I like to take the words and spin them around and then see what comes out.
Yeah,
I'm like, too. I remember it, but not really.
I remember the idea.
Yeah,
exactly right. I'm watching this shot where a Cable gets pulled back through time or whatever, and like, yeah, there's this cool doorway he's going back into, but it's only like a frame or two long, and so I'm really curious if there's like a clue to what's going on in like the doorway.
Wasn't it the triangle?
No, it's like it looks like a hexagon
came through.
It's a hexagon thing.
Hexagon. Yeah. Mephisto.
Yeah,
Mephisto.
Put it on the GD board.
Confirmed.
Ow.
All right. Well, we're out of here, guys. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.